Hello and welcome to Healthcare Tax Checkups, a KPMG podcast series featuring KPMG tax leaders on emerging and perennial tax issues impacting the healthcare industry. Today's episode explores the significance of proper valuations of physician practices for both pricing and regulatory purposes.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into this podcast episode. I'm Lori Robbins, Deputy Tax Industry Leader for KPMG's Healthcare Tax Practice. I'm based in Washington, D.C. in our firm's Washington National Tax Practice, and with me today is Chris Ober. Chris co-leads KPMG's National Healthcare Valuation Practice and has nearly 20 years of experience specializing in valuation and analysis of businesses and intangible assets for financial reporting, M&A, fairness opinions, shareholder disputes, and for a variety of other purposes. Chris focuses on healthcare and has performed valuations in many different fields, including acute care hospitals, surgery centers, physician practices, behavioral health, pharmaceuticals, laboratories, medical devices, healthcare payers, and so on. Chris, thanks for joining us. We have a number of physician practices being acquired by hospitals and other healthcare providers. And your services have been in great demand in that time. So much of what you do is finding the fair market value of businesses and assets. We hear the phrase fair market value used in many contexts. What is that? And does it have a special meaning in the healthcare setting?
Well, thanks, Lori, for having me. So with respect to fair market value, it really has a meaning across the valuation world, in particular across all industries, really, and is formally defined by Revenue Ruling 5960. And fair market value, in a traditional setting is really for tax-related valuations or anything, maybe management planning, anything that's not related to financial reporting valuation. And when you get to financial reporting, then the standard switches to fair value, which is then defined by the AICPA. The definitions are similar, right? But the AICPA definition is more specific to market participants and just different accounting type circumstances. But as it relates to healthcare, it does have a definitely a special meaning in the healthcare setting, as it relates more to compliance with the Stark Law and anti-kickback statute. And the specific definition for FMV within the healthcare setting is defined by the Code of Federal Regulations. It's sort of a long definition, but generally, it's the price that would result after a bona fide bargaining agreement between two well-informed parties that are not in a position to generate business from the other party, right? So it's the price and compensation cannot be determined in any manner that considers volume or value for patient referrals. So it's uniquely defined in the healthcare space to avoid the perception or reality of paying for patient referrals. And, the regulations were put in place in the healthcare industry to prevent incentives paid to providers, to direct patients to their own facilities. So a health system cannot overpay a physician in any way, shape, or form, to convince that physician or group of physicians to stop sending their patients to other centers and send them, to within their own healthcare facility. So in that context, FMV, you hear it all the time outside of just the healthcare space, but you're right, it is uniquely defined within healthcare to help abide by those Stark and anti-kickback regulations.
So determining fair market value is important not just to going to the pricing of the business, but to the Stark and anti-kickback rules that you mentioned.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it has a dual purpose. And, if you look at anytime you're at the front end of a transaction of any kind with a provider, whether it's acquiring a physician practice or a group of physicians or any type of other arrangements with providers such as joint ventures or anything like that, it's definitely highly recommended to have an analysis performed that demonstrates that you're paying, within the fair market value realm. The risk, I guess, is if the OIG or AG or, any other governing body comes around and investigates some of these transactions that are taking place with other providers, you'll want to have something in your files that shows that you've done the diligence around the payment to that provider, whether it's a purchase price or a compensation paid to a physician that you're going to be acquiring, and demonstrates that you've thought this through and you believe that it is within fair market value. This kind of avoids, if you've seen out there, you know, a lot of over the past few years, a lot of settlements, like large settlements, right, and sanctions that have come down on certain health systems, you know, for Stark and anti-kickback violations. While maybe not all related to fair market value, there's definitely some components in there where they've identified what they perceive as overpayments to physicians that cannot be explained and don't have any documentation or support. So that's why we get called in usually on the front end of transactions to help them, you know, have that diligence performed, have something in their files that shows that a third party came in and did this fair market value analysis and what they're paying coincides with that. You know, usually if you have that, if one of the governing body comes and starts to investigate, that will help, you know, help them get comfortable with what you're paying. But, you know, that said, outside of the compliance perspective, it does have a, you know, a purpose for management planning, and that it does help the client understand the value premise of what they're looking at. Right, we've had a number of circumstances where you know, some of our health systems are acquiring physician practices, and they'll hire us in to do the valuation work, the FMV work from a compliance perspective, but also to help them in their negotiation process. And I can remember several circumstances where we'll put that in front of the client, and they'll kind of stare at it for a little bit and think, we were planning on paying a lot more than this, right? And so it helps them kind of fine-tune their perspective of what that practice might be worth after they see that analysis. So it does kind of serve that dual purpose from that perspective.
Interesting. So it's good to keep those fair market valuations documents handy so that if a regulator does come calling, you have that at your disposal.
Correct.
So Generally, how is fair market value determined? And I'm not asking you to give up your trade secrets in this space, but are there different ways of calculating fair market value?
Yeah, there are no trade secrets. And it's funny you say that, because every time we get on the phone to talk through methodology, I always say that, you know, especially if the auditors are on the line, that we're not going to pioneer anything new here. But what you're going to see is what you see generally across all valuation providers. It's just, you know, where we provide the most value is in our expertise from an industry perspective. But in general, for physician practices or other, just any other kind of entity acquisitions, right, we start with a discounted cash flow analysis and a market approach. And the sense is that, you know, for an investor always wants to kind of understand what the return on investment is going to be from a cash flow perspective. But in addition, you know, what others market participants out there are paying, you know, for certain assets or liability or equity interests. So that just kind of cash flow method, you know, we'll work with the clients to understand what that pro forma will look like on a standalone basis, not including any synergies from the buyer, and then do a risk assessment on those cash flows and discount that back to present. That methodology has been around for, you know, since the dinosaurs, right? So everybody knows that the discounted cash flow method. And the market approach, we'll look at, you know, what we'll call guideline company analysis, where we'll try to, you know, find comparable publicly traded companies and look at pricing multiples based on the stock prices. Or we'll look at transactions of similar entities. So, you know, we may have skilled nursing facilities, or we may have urgent care centers, ambulatory surgery centers. We'll try to find transactions specific to those types of entities and look at the pricing multiples in those transactions. So usually with you know, the smaller physician practices and other types of smaller deals, we'll usually focus more on the transactions, because you won't find many publicly traded companies that are, you know, uniquely similar to, you know, a physician practice, right? I think there may be just one or two that just went public, but even they're too new on the market. So a lot of the market approach stuff is transaction oriented. Having said all that, oftentimes, you know, with physician practices, there's you know, little to no profitability left in the business. If you think about how a physician practice works, you know, especially the smaller ones, right? They're not saving to expand into other markets. They don't have a lot of capital and, you know, investments that are needed outside of maybe some new equipment here and there. So if you think of maybe a primary care practice, you know, they're just seeing patients, they're billing insurance, they're getting collections, and then they're paying their expenses. And hopefully there's something left over at the end of the day for salary, but whatever that is usually what they take home, leaving very little on the bottom line. So when you start to look at a discounted cash flow method, there's not enough there for materiality from a value perspective. And then there's no, you know, if there's no earnings, there's nothing really to hang a multiple on, you know, unless you're looking at a multiple of revenue, which doesn't make a lot of sense in that space. So in that instance, we'll actually look at the value of the assets underlying the business. So, you know, it's usually all of the equipment, you know, that they have, the computers, desk, chairs, beds, and any type of medical equipment, x-ray machines, those types of things. And then the intangibles, right? I mean, we'll look at the workforce, we'll look at the patient records, we'll look at supplies that they have on hand. And that really becomes the supplement of value from, you know, from that perspective when the when there's less profitability.
That makes sense. So even though they may not be highly profitable businesses, you can still go into a great amount of detail to find the value of that business.
That's correct. Because, you know, just because there's no cash flow coming out doesn't mean there's no value to the business. And so you look at saying, okay, well, I'm going to employ this physician and I'm going to pay them for all of the investments that they made in their underlying infrastructure at the end of the day, right? So there's some value there, but it, you're not going to be able to see it from looking at negative cash flows. Do you know what I mean? Right. So yeah, you look to alternative methods. But for physician, I'll hit one last thing on the question around how F&B is determined. When you look at physician compensation, it looks a lot different, right? It's not the type of analysis that I just described. While it technically is, you know, a form of the market approach, it's really more of a benchmarking exercise. So, you know, we'll gather all the information that they have on a physician that they want us to run an FMV on or a commercial reasonableness test on, you know, and that includes looking at their collections, their work RVUs, patient volume, and just other metrics, right? Maybe they're teaching, maybe they have a medical directorship, maybe there's some unique non-invasive surgery that they've created and they're world-renowned, other aspects outside of just, you know, productivity. But we'll take all that information and then go to several of the subscription third-party survey databases that we have. And we'll start to look at, okay, what specialty is this physician in? And then we'll drill down to that specialty and try to find information about what other physicians that have similar productivity in terms of collections and work RVUs in similar regions, you know, what they're being paid, and then kind of compare that, you know, to the proposed compensation for the physician that we're looking at, right? And then we'll look at the facts and circumstances underlying it, and at the end of the day, making certain adjustments within the benchmarking data, come up with what we feel like a fair market value range for that physician should be, or group of physicians. So it's a little bit different. It is part of the market approach, since we're using publicly available, you know, survey information and trying to compare and contrast what similar, you know, similar physicians are being compensated, I should say, for doing similar types of services and services, right? So that's kind of what where we end up with compensation. So I wanted to make sure I hit on both entity acquisitions and physician compensation, because I think that's kind of the crux of the question that you asked.
Yeah, that's right. That makes sense. And thanks for those insights. In wrapping up, are there any other special considerations that those who are party to these physician practice deals should consider in the valuation context? You mentioned, obviously, physician comp is sort of its own unique animal. Any other closing thoughts for those listening?
Yeah, I guess I would say aside from physician compensation, a lot of times it's overlooked that, you know, there should be an FMV framework around other provider arrangements. You know, oftentimes when we're talking with our clients, we'll ask, you know, is there a management service agreement put in place where, you know, you'll see a lot of health systems that are acquiring physician practices, set up an MSA. So to provide back office support, but really taking the pressure off of the physicians to have to focus on that, and then instead freeing up their time to look at just the clinical side and just treat patients, right? But there's a fee being paid for those services. And oftentimes, you know, it's overlooked that fee also needs to be within fair market value range. So it's not perceived that you're charging below market fees, right? Which could be saying, hey, we won't charge you full price for the management fees if you just promise to send patients into our facilities. So oftentimes we'll recommend that gets looked at. You know, rental arrangements are similar. You know, there's been circumstances where health system may buy a physician practice and the physician just operates out of one office building, right? And they own that building and they want to sell that building to the health system as well. And then the health system will charge them rent to operate that. You know, it's easy to forget that rent also needs to be at fair market value, because that's also more, it's money transacting between the provider and the health system. So it also needs to be looked at from a fair market value perspective. And I think last, you know, I had a client reach out to me in the HR department that handles physician compensation and asked me a question about why third-party providers don't look at billing and coding audits during the diligence process, because oftentimes, you know, deals close, right? And that doesn't get looked at. And then the physician contracting gets handed over to HR and they realize that the physician's been maybe billing it, you know, the wrong codes over a period of time, right? And if you alleviate that, then the compensation definitely looks different, right? And the difficult discussions need to be made post-transactions that probably should have happened during the diligence process. And so we often, you know, when we're talking in the beginning of transactions with our clients, recommend that somebody at least do a sampling of the billing and coding of the physicians to make sure that, you know, that all that's being done accordingly, such that the appropriately reflects the compensation being paid. But I think that's pretty much, you know, from an F&B perspective, those are the few different areas that sometimes do get overlooked that I think is important to highlight.
Great. Thanks, Chris, for shedding some light on various significant valuation issues that healthcare organizations are facing. And for those of you listening, if you have any questions or wish to discuss your business's valuation issues further, please feel free to contact Chris Ober or myself or your local KPMG representative. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to KPMG's Healthcare Tax Checkup Podcast. For more information, visit the Healthcare and Life Sciences homepage. We'll see you next time.